Welcome to the Practical Consciousness Podcast with James and Lisa, where we help you tap into your highest selves in everyday life. Hi, welcome to Practical Consciousness, the podcast with James and Lisa. I'm James.
And I'm Lisa.
Welcome, listeners, and our moms. although we've already established, my mom doesn't actually listen. I had to explain. Now, this is funny. I had to explain to my mom what a podcast was.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, are you still doing that video with that with Lisa? And I'm like, well, yeah, we publish it on YouTube, but it's a podcast, not a video. And she's like,
what's a podcast?
She's like, well, isn't that what a podcast is? I'm like, no, podcast is it's audio. It's like you listen to it. And she's like, people listen to you just talk? And I'm like, well, a few of them, apparently not you. And she's like, no, I've never heard it. I was like, gee, I always say my mom listens and she's not actually listening.
Well, it sounds like she's watching the video.
No, she didn't watch the video either.
Oh, she just knows about it. Okay. She sees that you post.
She never came to my concerts. That's not true. She always did. But I guess I've grown up now. I don't need
Is this a shadow?
I don't need my mom's support. Yeah, good thing you point that out. So, as a matter of fact, today's episode is not multiple, is the third in a series about the shadows. And if you skip to this one, the first one we talked about kind of what the shadows are.
Yeah.
In the second one, we talked about the different sort of ways people start working with their shadows, some of the different techniques and some books and some things like that. But today we kind of wanted to spend some time talking about the results, I guess, you get from doing the shadow work. Why would you do it? What happens?
Yeah.
What have I experienced? What have you experienced? What have maybe some other people have experienced? So that's kind of what
the value.
Yeah. That's what we wanted to focus on today. So let's start with the first kind of obvious question. Now you've kind of done some shadow work. You went to a practitioner.
Yes, I did.
And then you said you also, read a book about how to kind of start accepting the darker shadow aspects of yourself.
Yes.
What was that book again?
The one that I'm reading right now is called What's in the Way is the Way by Mary. It's behind me.
Don't worry about it.
Anyway, her name's Mary something, but she actually lives in this area. She lives in Kirkland, Washington, and conducts workshops, I guess. I don't, maybe not now, but
maybe we could see if we get her to be a guest. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. She doesn't call it the shadow. Right. But you know, it's the process, going through the process and having an understanding of what the shadow is. I know that's what the work is.
You've worked a little bit with a practitioner, you've read some books, but for the most part, you kind of began to scratch the surface. You haven't deep dived into your shadows per se.
Yeah.
And just in that little bit of work you've done, sort of like peeking at your shadows and, starting to try to discover them. What would you say has resulted from just that work that you've done?
So one thing is that I'm more aware of when my shadow shows up. So awareness, which always is the first step to lots of this kind of work.
Yeah, of course.
So lots of awareness. And then in some areas, like the one area where I worked with the practitioner, I would say probably there's no longer like sabotage coming from my shadow, like sabotaging my conscious intentions anymore in that area. So that's been really wonderful for me in just one specific area. You know, we have multiple shadows, but in that area, because I was able to work on something very specific, you know, I got a lot of relief from just the constant, you know, this thing surfacing every time I was in this particular situation, this shadow would surface and it was always, you know, painful or, you know, was difficult to deal with. So now I feel like it doesn't come along and try to sabotage me when I have a conscious intention to be conscious about what I'm doing or how I'm responding to certain things, responding instead of reacting. So yeah, it's been really good. It's been great.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you were able to kind of remove a block that was getting in your way, or you were getting kind of in your own way in a mm-hmm. certain aspect, one one dimension, and that by becoming aware of that shadow, now it's in your conscious thought.
Yeah. But not just being aware of it, also working with it. So when the shadow appears, I say, I see you.
Oh.
And you're welcome to be here. And you can stay as you could. You have a right to be here, and I'd love to know more about you. So you're kind of like accepting it. It's almost like when you're upset about something, and you, like, let's say I was really upset about something and I came to you, and you have different ways that you could respond to that, right? You could be like, I don't like, oh, she's too whacked out, I don't want to, you know, and push, right? Yeah. That's what we do with some of our shadows. Yeah. We push them away. We ignore them. Yeah. We run like hell.
Yeah.
Or you could be very accepting and listen to me. That's going to feel better to me. So it's the same way with the shadows. It's a lot better for your shadow, because your shadow is energy, right? And that energy is going to be a lot better off if you just accept it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And listen to it and say, I want to listen to you.
Yeah. It's interesting. You make a really good point too about the, working with your shadows is, what we know as being energy coaches is we kind of know that, energy needs to flow. It needs to flow, and it's problematic when it gets stopped, right? Or trapped, or anytime there's resistance. And so I think it's kind of cool how you just mentioned that it's energy. Your shadow is an energy, and it's an energy that you have not allowed to flow.
Right.
And by saying, of course, you deserve as much to be, you know, kind of in my forethought as any other part of me does.
Yeah.
You're really kind of opening up the flow of that energy again, even if it's even if it's an uncomfortable, painful energy, it's still.
Well, many times it can be, right? It can be.
It is. Yeah, for sure.
Because we're really afraid. That's why we do all this stuffing and avoiding and running away from, because we're afraid of that pain. Mm-hmm. But when you actually experience it, it's not as bad as you think. What's worse, what's more painful, is the resisting for years and years and years.
Yeah, that's suffering.
Yeah, it causes a lot of suffering. And when you actually sit with these things and let them, it's almost like they pass through you. Then they're like, okay, now you're like, it's like it raises up, and instead of pushing it back down, you say, yeah, it's okay, you're here.
Yeah, come on.
Tell me more about you. Mm-hmm. Be very approach it with curiosity, very curious. And then eventually, maybe not the first time you do it, because I've got things I'm still working on that come up, you know, repeatedly, but I'm not trying to get rid of them. I'm just being okay with it being there and being curious about it. And then eventually it just kind of like, it's almost like it feels like it just passes through you.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of things when it comes to high conscious being is that a lot of it is simple, but not easy.
You know, yeah.
I mean, what you're describing is pretty simple. You're just saying, I'm not going to resist it anymore. I'm going to allow it to.
But that's not easy.
No, it's not easy.
That's not easy. I mean, I remember in the beginning days when I would read stuff like that, I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah. Or some of the things I first read, it was like, no, I'm not. Well, it's funny.
No, thank
you. It's funny now that you mention it. It's my actual first reaction to the shadow work initially was, well, I don't need that. I'm good. Right?
That was a shadow.
Now the ego's in the back going, he got him.
Got him.
Got him. Snap.
Got past that one.
Yeah. So me, I've done quite a bit more. I've been at it for I don't know, 7 months now, pretty solid. In fact, we were talking, Lisa and I are partners on a couple projects, and, you know, we have a mindfulness course that we do for corporate. And so we talk and work together outside of the podcast. And so we were talking earlier this week, and I shared with her that I kind of got a message in meditation and in some of my writing and stuff that it's like time to move on from the shadow. It's like the message was basically the shadow work is life work. There's, you know, I'm 50 plus years old. And so you're going to get, that's a long lifetime of shadows. And that the ones that now that I kind of know how to accept all of me, then I don't really need to focus so much on it.
Right.
And I found that to be very relieving. And
I can imagine. Yeah.
So, you know, I've done a lot of the work in it. And the first thing I would say that I've the most beneficial, I guess, advantage to discovering and embracing my shadows is self-love. You know, I give this analogy sometimes to, I was talking to a client the other day, and we were talking about this idea that as the more we repress our shadows over a lifetime, each time we repress a shadow, if you could kind of visualize this sort of in your mind, the shadow is created out of fear, right? The shadow is created because you're either ashamed, and you're afraid people are going to judge you, or you've judged it as bad and you don't want anybody to find out you have a bad aspect to yourself, right? Or you're just afraid of what you would be if you let it out. And, because maybe it's a, you know, it's a horrible monster or something. Right. And so you're repressing this shadowy part of yourself and either acting on it, in a kind of clandestine way, or you're repressing it. Right. And so then your ego's job is to stay status quo, avoid the pain. And so your ego is like, trying to make you forget it, basically trying to distract you from it.
Distract you. Yeah. And, many times.
And,
yeah,
and that process of doing that starts to build a shell around your heart. You start shielding off your heart because you believe the more your shadows are there and kind of with, you know, in play in your life, the more you start to pull away from everything else, right? You believe you are so very unique and so different, and everything outside of you is kind of working against you. I mean, those who live with their are those who avoid their shadows, which is probably 99.99% of the human population. They build a shield around their heart, like rock around their heart to protect their heart from being hurt.
Yeah.
Cause it's painful to be hurt. I mean, I'd rather have my arm cut off than to be honestly emotionally hurt. Right. It's so painful. And so what I think the shadow work really does is it in the end, it starts to remove all that shielding and all that rock, and it just chisels away. So your heart, your raw, vulnerable, loving heart is no longer blocked from releasing. And so
that takes a lot of trust to do that. Trusting in the universe, not to that it's going to be okay.
Yeah, absolutely
doing that.
It does. And that trust doesn't just happen either. It's like
that's another part of the work.
It is another part of the work, yeah. And it's funny, you know, I think this is just kind of coming to me right now, is this idea that we are very much creatures who function on biofeedback. Whether we want to admit it or not, we're very much creatures, because especially our skin is like a giant antenna. So it's like we do, and then we get biofeedback on what happened when we do, and it kind of becomes part of our automatic processing, right? And so
yeah,
you have to consciously like fight that urge to react to that biofeedback, because I guarantee you, when you do the shadow work, the biofeedback is you get what you're exactly afraid of. You get the pain, you get the mm-hmm. you get the emotion, you get the shame, you get the embarrassment, you get all of it comes. And your every part of you, when you get that biofeedback, it wants to stop or wants to take a break or wants to distract yourself or whatever, right? And so it's not easy. My point is, the trust doesn't just happen. You have to almost have to have a little kind of discipline, I guess, about it, and just sort of like,
yeah, you do.
You have to have, here's what I'm trying to say, I guess, is what you really have to have is you have to have enough farsight. And that's kind of why we wanted to have this episode today and talk, is you kind of have to trust, to your point, that the work is going to result in, not attached to the result, not expect the result, but allow the result to be your guide, I guess, to be to bolster your trust.
Yeah. It always sounds hokey when I hear people say this, or I hear myself say it, but it's like trusting that whatever is happening in your life, whatever you're experiencing, when you're working on your shadows or whatever, or ignoring them, it's exactly perfect for you at that moment. That's the trust, is just trusting that no matter what's happening in your life, this is exactly perfect for me right now.
Yeah. It's part,
no matter what choice I make.
Right. It's part of a design, I guess, for lack of better words. It's not yeah. that I don't really believe in like destiny or anything like that, but
no.
We're not saying destiny per se. What we're saying is that it's part of the workings to unfold whatever it is that's going to be absolutely perfect. So
yeah, it could seem path that you're on.
Right.
It's whatever this journey that you're on, these are the things that you're growing from. All these, however whether you're blocking or you're expanding, you're still learning.
Exactly.
And it's growing your spirit. So.
And so for me, yeah. I would say probably the biggest benefit I've gotten is, well, I discovered I didn't have a lot of, because my heart was so like kind of lost. I mean, I'm a pretty compassionate, pretty nice guy, but
yeah, you're nice,
but it always was kind of like, you know, what's in it for me kind of a thing. Whether I consciously knew that or not, that was sort of what the main like motive for a lot of my mm-hmm. kindness and compassion.
Yeah.
And now what I can look at anybody in their eyes and tell you is that my relationship with myself today is the strongest it's ever been in my life. And I can tell you it's because of the shadow work. It's because I honestly, truthfully embrace every little piece of me, every little thought, every little dream, no matter how, if I could share a dream and someone might say, that's the sickest thing I've ever heard, or that's the most, you know, flubbed up thing that anyone has ever said to them. Yeah. And it would be like, yeah, you know, it was to me too, actually. But now it's not. And,
that's wonderful.
I'm never going to probably act on that, but it's there. Yeah.
But it's great that it's just beautiful that you've gotten yourself to this point where you have this great relationship with yourself, to where you're not self-conscious about those things. But I will challenge you on what you said, because I would challenge you and say that probably when you were 2 years old, you had the best relationship with yourself.
Oh, that's a good point.
Like that, up until a certain point, yeah, you actually had a better relationship with yourself than you have right now.
Yeah, that's a fair, that's actually a pretty good point. Yeah. Before my ego.
Because when we're first born, yeah, when we're first born, we are open, wide open.
Yeah.
Wide open. Up until they say about six is when things really start to change.
So then what would you say? So that's kind of the direct benefit that you and I have received from the work. What would you say it would be an indirect benefit that you've noticed since you've invested in at least some level of shadow work?
What would be an indirect benefit? Indirect? I mean, obviously the teaching, like I don't know if this is indirect, but now that I've had the experiences that I've had, I'm able to teach people about, you know, it makes me a better coach, I guess. I don't know if that's indirect or not.
Yeah.
That's... What would be an example of indirect? I'm like, what?
So indirect would be like, I'll just share one of mine is, growing and expanding love, self-love has led to an easing of the resistance easing of the resistance of seeing myself as part of a larger collective. When I was criticizing myself, ashamed of parts of me, fighting myself with, you know, dark desires or something that I felt like I wanted, but then I was telling myself I'm bad for having it.
Mm-hmm.
Then whether we're conscious of it or not, that again, build up around our heart, makes it hard to be caring and compassionate and loving towards anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta love yourself first.
And so then you definitely view the world as us and them, right? It's mm-hmm.
Me against the world, yeah.
And really the world is me. And so
yeah, that's right.
once I was able to start falling in love with myself, and that, I know that sounds sort of like arrogant, but hopefully everyone gets what I mean by that.
Anybody listening to this podcast gets that.
And so once I was able to do that, then all of a sudden I started being being much authentically generous and compassionate with other people because they were me.
Yeah.
So I call that an indirect benefit. The direct benefit is self-compassion, self-love, self-care. And the indirect result was
everything that comes from that.
Yeah, starting to embrace the collective consciousness, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what's really interesting about that is and this is something relatively new now. And that's why I think my guidance is to move on is because I'm starting to feel the pain of the shadow of the collective shadow. So like maybe there was a shadow of arrogance in me that now I can embrace and love and accept. But now I'm feeling the discomfort of the collective arrogance.
Well, there's definitely collective shadow lurking about where we're all experiencing it, you know, like with racism, that's the big one right now. So yeah.
Well, the big granddaddy shadow, you know, we call it the grandpapa, grandmama, whatever, gremlin. Well, the grandpapa, grand gremlin, grandmama, gremlin, collective gremlin. I don't know what I want to say.
Let's say that 10 times real fast.
Is really it's really judgment. Look, our world today, at least in the United States, everything is politicized, like literally everything. Everything is two-sided. Yeah. It's either conservative or it's liberal. That's it. And everything, like, you know, everything. It's all politicized. And that's ego and that's judgment, right? I mean, so one side's right, one side's wrong, and the other side thinks the other side's wrong and the other side's right. Yeah. And
so we have a huge collective shadow.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be, you know what, that could be like a whole episode right there.
Yeah, it could.
But my point is that I'm starting to, I never really paid attention per se to the collective shadows because,
right.
Well, I probably just, I couldn't really see them. I just felt like it was, you know, everyone else's dysfunction, not mine. But now I see it, I feel it like in total. And, what I've kind of started to discover, just like my own individual shadow work, is what I have to do is find a way to embrace the collective shadow and try to pull myself back, like my own personal shadow, and have a little more foresight and say, just like you were saying earlier, trust that this is happening exactly when it needs to for an exact reason.
Yeah. And also, too, by working with your own shadow, you are working with the collective shadow.
You are.
Anytime we work on ourselves, anytime we open our hearts up more, you're not just, because you're not disconnected, you're not separate. You're part of a whole. So as soon as your heart starts opening up, you're opening up the heart of the entire world. And the one thing I like to say when I'm talking to like clients and we're talking about that kind of thing is, you're not responsible for that, because a lot of people will think, oh, well, then I need to do the work because I want to help with world peace. Like, it's not your responsibility. Don't put that on yourself. Yeah. That's a shadow. That's a shadow, actually.
Yeah, that is. You're right. Yeah. That's a... Yeah.
But anyway, but when you do, you know, that is what happens.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
You don't need to be aware of it. You don't need to feel obligated to do it or anything like that.
Unless you feel like a pull to you, that becomes your intention. There's nothing wrong with that either. Like if your intention is I'm going to embrace my own shadows so that's one less collective shadow that's working against the collective, I guess, then I was trying to think when you were sharing that, I was trying to think there's a book and I think the book is called Force versus, I'm not going to remember it. Sorry. Anyway, in this book, the author just talks about how, the kind of the collective frequency, like we talk about the law of attraction and attraction and manifestation, all that kind of stuff. And that there is a kind of universal, scale that is involved around kind of the collective energetic level and our collective frequency, and that if one individual in the collective changes or increases their frequency, right, and gets out of anger and hatred and can move into more love and compassion, then it has an exponential impact on the collective vibration.
It absolutely does. Yeah. It's amazing. They say that if you just smiling at someone, you'd be amazed at how much you're contributing to raising the vibration of the world.
Yeah.
Just by smiling at someone.
So I guess my point is that if you feel the calling, right, if you feel in your heart or in your gut you want to do your part to raise the consciousness of the collective human race. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's just not your responsibility.
It's not your responsibility. it's your desire is what it is.
Right? Yeah, sure. If that's yes.
And you know, if you have a dark desire that you want to lower the frequency of the collective, there's nothing wrong with that either.
Right.
That's where the shadow work.
Yeah. So there's lots of books that you can. I guess we did that last time. We talked about some books that people could look at. That What's in the Way is the Way is a great book. It doesn't refer to the shadow directly, but it's a great book that works you, does actually work you through your, recognizing your shadows and then working with your shadows. So,
And then before we signed off today, I wanted to share with you one other, like, I think, you know, probably equal to the self-compassion and self-love is the really kind of powerful benefit is you just don't get bothered as much by things. It's like, can I look at you honestly in your eyes right now and say, I'm never triggered by anything anymore? No, because that would be a lie.
Yeah.
But what I can tell you is I'm triggered by substantially less things.
Yeah.
And the indirect benefit of not being bothered by everything is I start to see the reality more. So I would say when you live in your shadow and your subconscious is avoiding the shadow, that becomes your motivation in most everything, is to avoid the shadows. And so there's all kinds of, we're going to do an episode where we're going to talk about guides and angels and synchronicities and how to be, you know, how to be guided and all that kind of stuff. And I honestly, I think so many people miss so many important messages from that process because they're just so focused on avoiding their shadows.
It's because they're listening to what's going on up
this
here.
This dialogue, that's running constantly up here.
And it's to help you avoid the, your shadows,
distracting you.
Yeah, distracting.
And so now what I've started to notice is, you know, someone cuts me off in traffic. I always use that analogy. And it doesn't tick me off, but then I notice the reality is that maybe this individual, I'm just using this as one example. This individual is driving so aggressively, because they're harried or what, I can't really know the reason, but I can do my part to support their safety in, you know, so it, I'll just give you an driving for me is one of my hottest buttons. I imagine for a lot of people, that's the truth.
Yeah.
But in the past, and my wife would tell you because it always frustrated her, is somebody would cut me off, like push their way in. And of course my immediate message is, oh, I guess rules don't apply to you. And you're obviously much more important than I am. Now, again, there's that shadow of arrogance, right? And so they're being arrogant in my mind. Therefore, I'm pissed. And so how do I match it? I become arrogant.
Yeah. Right?
I make a point to work so hard to get around them so I can cut them off. And then when they flip me off, I'm satiated. That dark desire is like, okay. So now what happens, someone cuts me off. I'm not kidding. This just recently happened. Someone cuts me off. Now, driving around in a fifth wheel really helps in this area too, but they cut me off and I literally, there's not even a thought about selfishness or arrogance or none of those thoughts even enter the head. That's where my point is they're kind of gone. But what and then I look at the situation, just like I just said, I try to look at it with compassion and caring and consideration. And I'll either back off and give them plenty of room, right?
Yeah, that's what I do now.
or what I've done sometimes in the past is, like, maybe they've gotten pinned, they cut me off and now they're pinned and you know, traffic's flowing in the other lane or whatever better. I'll actually get over in the other lane and hang back and let them move up in front of me so they can get that gap as they continue to try to move.
Yeah.
And that's just, to me, that's just one example, a simple, most day-to-day life example of not being triggered and pissed off by what other people are doing and no longer being a victim.
It feels so much better, right? It feels so much better.
I can't even describe how much better it feels.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone would have said to me, do this shadow work so that you cannot get pissed off at people, I would look at them and go, no, why would I do that? That's not, that is, that juice is not worth the squeeze, right?
Yeah.
And, but I'm here to tell you, and you, the listeners will have to take my word on this, is that it is huge. It is so much more enjoyable to live this life when you're not so pissed off at everybody all the time.
Yeah, just try it. Just try it with something little.
Yeah, just try it with something little. Okay. So time flew by again today. I mean, I could talk shadow. Like I could make a whole podcast out of talking about the shadow. I am so grateful that you guys
have. You've done three. Oh, you meant
I meant like a whole podcast on just working with your shadows. But we're grateful for the listeners for hearing our stories about our shadows and what the shadows are, and hopefully it encourages just even one of you to do the work and put in the work and change the collective vibration. You know?
Yeah. I mean, change your own, but change the collective too.
And if anybody has any questions, they want to give us any feedback, they want to share their stories about their shadow work or where they've started and maybe stopped because it was too hard or anything like that, reach out to us on our Facebook group, Practical Consciousness Podcast Facebook group, or even go to YouTube to our, we post this podcast in YouTube and comment there either place and, you know, share in the conversation. We're glad to hear, help, offer, whatever. We don't necessarily, Lisa doesn't necessarily do shadow work as a practitioner, nor necessarily do I, but I'm starting to dabble in there.
Yeah, but we work with shadow a lot.
Yeah, and so if anybody wants to start working on that in a kind of a less heavy way, like in a kind of a traditional kind of coaching role or coaching client role, we're both would love to help anybody who needs that help.
Absolutely.
You can go to fountainheadcoaching.com for me. And
it's lisaannmueller.com.
So either of those two places. And if you just want to reach out to us and start a conversation with us, you're welcome to do that as well.
Can do that
on
too.
An individual basis. Can. But
yep.
With that, we're so grateful that you guys gave us the 40 minutes or 30 some minutes that you did today. And we feel blessed for that. And with that, I think we'll say goodbye.
Bye-bye.